From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, June 19th, 2019.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Red Zone Wireless, providing a local alternative for broadband throughout Maine. Learn more at redzonewireless.com.
The city of Portland has announced its intention to focus on finding the asylum seekers who've arrived in the city over the last week, long-term and permanent housing. In a statement this afternoon, City Manager John Jennings says members of neighboring cities and towns have agreed to work with local developers and private property owners to find vacant apartments or suitable empty facilities that could house 100 families. A regional council of governments will also coordinate the creation of a program that will allow families to host asylum seekers in their homes. The Maine Department of Health and Human Services announced an emergency ruling yesterday removing transgender-specific health services from the list of non-covered procedures under MaineCare. Quinn Gormley is the executive director of Maine Transnet, a support and advocacy group for transgender Mainers. She says they don't yet know what will be covered under MaineCare.
What we've seen nationally and in other states is that plans are willing to cover things like hormone therapies and some surgeries for trans people, but they don't necessarily cover the full range of care needs around that care.
Gormley says this is only the first step in obtaining health coverage for trans Mainers, and that details on what's covered by the plan will be developed later this year. And the Democratic-controlled legislature is poised to shake up Maine's election process in the 2020 presidential race. Steve Missler has more.
One proposal approved by the House and Senate and now funded by the legislature's budget committee would swap Maine's caucus system for a presidential primary. The change stems from frustration during the 2016 caucuses, which resulted in long lines and confusion for Democratic and Republican voters. A second bill would institute Maine's landmark ranked choice voting system in both presidential primaries and the general election. The system is already in place for Maine congressional contests and allows voters to rank the candidates, rankings that are then used to calculate a majority winner. The two proposals receive votes largely along party lines in the House and Senate, and will need additional votes before going to Democratic Governor Janet Mills, who will have 10 days to sign, veto, or allow the proposals to become law without her signature. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
In weather tonight, showers north with fog in most of the state, patchy drizzle with lows in the 50s. Democratic lawmakers in the Maine legislature have given early approval to a bill that would allow non-citizens to qualify for a range of welfare benefits, including food, cash, and health benefit assistance. The bill comes as the city of Portland is responding to the sudden arrival last week of more than 200 asylum seekers. Steve Missler has more.
The proposal was originally introduced to reverse an 8-year-old prohibition on welfare for non-citizens instituted by the LePage administration. But it was thrust into the spotlight because Portland has asked the state for help in meeting the immediate needs of newly arrived asylum seekers currently being housed in a makeshift shelter while figuring out a more long-term plan. The bill was stripped of its funding and would only allow asylum seekers to apply for benefits should money be available at the Maine Department of Health and Human Services or through the state and locally funded General Assistance Program. Nevertheless, debate over the measure was quickly engulfed by the contentious arguments that have colored the national discussion over immigration for the past several years.
Maine is not a rich state. I wish we were.
Representative Josanne Dolliff, a Republican from Rumford, echoed other GOP lawmakers who say they worry that the asylum seekers are being given priority over Maine citizens.
Somebody mentioned, a rep mentioned, that we have an obligation to these people. No, we have an obligation to our own people, our own needs first.
A handful of Republicans encouraged their colleagues to make a personal donation to the city of Portland, which has also been seeking private funds to help pay for food and services. Representative Scott Strom, a Republican from Pittsfield, was among those who encouraged private donations over taxpayer assistance.
Because it's not that I don't want refugees and asylum seekers to come to the United States or come to Maine, because I personally do.
Other Republicans were less charitable in their views of the bill or asylum seekers, who some falsely labeled as illegals. and a handful took aim at the city of Portland, where some city leaders have made a point of welcoming immigrants, drawing criticism that the city is now asking state taxpayers for a bailout. Democrats who control the House and Senate countered that the state is losing young people and that the asylum seekers are, like the immigrants before them, vital to the state's economy and future. Representative Michael Brennan, a Democrat from Portland and the city's former mayor, recalled how his grandmother immigrated from Ireland.
How could I possibly turn my back on people that are coming to the state of Maine now asking for help? I would not be here today if, when my grandmother came over from Ireland, the people of Portland turned their back on her.
Under U.S. law, the people who arrived last week are here legally because they came through a legal point of entry at the border and declared their intent to seek asylum. And asylum seekers are prohibited from working for at least 6 months after filing asylum applications, forcing many to stay in homeless shelters and rely on public assistance. But the more than 200 people who arrived on buses from San Antonio, Texas last week are also a unique case. City officials have said border agents did not conduct an interview that would have given them parole status, leading officials to believe that they may not qualify for general assistance aid. The bill approved by Democrats would allow general assistance to be used. It faced additional votes before going to Democratic Governor Janet Mills, who pledged last week to help. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
And in Washington, Maine Congressman Jared Golden and Congresswoman Shelley Pingree are trying to block funding for federal rules that would force Maine lobstermen to take half their gear rope out of the water. The issue is part of the debate over how best to protect the endangered North Atlantic right whale against potentially deadly entanglement. Fred Bever has more.
With Pingree's support, Golden is introducing an amendment to an appropriations bill that would block federal regulators from moving forward with new rules on fishing gear that poses a risk to the roughly 415 whales left on the planet. Golden says a modeling tool federal scientists created to assess risk posed by Maine lobstermen's trap rope hasn't been subjected to a needed scientific peer review.
They're, I think, operating rather blindly in this regard.
Golden points to recent research suggesting that the whales are bypassing traditional seasonal feeding grounds in Maine's coastal waters. That's because a staple of their diet, a tiny crustacean called Calanus finmarchicus, appears to be decreasing in abundance here, leading the whales to seek more abundant food off New Brunswick. Golden notes that in 2017, when an unusually high number of right whales died, 12 were found dead in Canadian waters and only 5 in the U.S.
People think that the migratory patterns of the whales are changing. If they're not coming through the Gulf of Maine or not to the scale that they have in the past, then perhaps that means that this tool needs, and the data being put into it needs to be changed.
But determining the exact cause of a whale's death is not easy, and the federal government decided that for the purposes of managing protection efforts, it would assign half of the likely risk of human-caused whale mortality to Canada and half to the U.S. In an interview earlier this week, before Golden proposed his amendments, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's top fisheries scientist in the Northeast, John Hare, said the disputed model would in fact be subjected to peer review, but not until late this year at the earliest. And Hare says there are no plans to delay the rulemaking, which will include the assumption that 50% of the risk comes from the U.S., and thus it will require wholesale rope removal by Maine lobstermen.
Yeah, understanding that there's a lot of agita about the assignment of a 50-50, you know, I think right now, in terms of this initial rulemaking, that's not going to be revisited.
The federal rulemaking process starts in September. Meanwhile, state officials and lobstermen are working to design and propose a compliance methodology that makes sense for the diverse lobster fleet while minimizing safety risks and economic harm. The U.S. House is expected to vote on Golden's amendment and the appropriations bill it would attach to by the end of this week. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 o'clock, where we'll talk about ticks and other vectors for disease. I'm Nora Flaherty.